Good morning, New Hope, and welcome. I hope y'all had a good morning. Good morning. Hope y'all had a really good Thanksgiving. My name is Dave Gray. I'm one of the members here, and I'm going to be filling in for Pastor Matt. We actually had some technological difficulties. It was supposed to be a pre-recorded message. He was here for hours and hours and hours. Couldn't get the camera to work. Couldn't get the microphone to work. So I'm using a handheld, which is a little bit uncomfortable. If you know me at all, I wander all over the place, and I need my hands. So just be patient. But I'm going to go ahead and open up in a word of prayer, and we're going to tuck into some verses and some thoughts around the Advent season. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this awesome group of brothers and sisters. Lord, thank you for the warm building when it is so cold outside. Thank you for the times that we've had with family this past week. And Lord, I pray as we would turn attention to you, Lord, that it would be your strength and not mine, that they would be your words and not mine, and that we'd come to you in earnest waiting for the season to come. In Jesus' name, amen. So there were some slides that didn't happen, so I'm going to be walking you through it. We've got the scripture, so we're going to move through that. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Isaiah 9 right now. And as we rolled out last week, we're going to be launching into a new series called The Songs of Christmas. You might not know this, but in the Gospel of Luke, we actually find four Christmas songs. It's kind of considered by some as the first Christmas playlist. And this series, we're going to look at the four songs together. It starts next week with a song of Zechariah. But before we get there, we wanted to spend some time this week just talking about Advent, what it is, what it's not. We want to reflect on Christmas for a minute and reflect on the power of these Christmas songs because they have a way of taking us back. And I don't know how you feel. I think any time after Thanksgiving is fair game as far as Christmas carols go. It is a little bit, you know, dependent on the weather. If you're starting in October and the leaves haven't fallen, you're probably going to get a few bah humbugs, okay? But no matter how you look at Christmas carols and Christmas songs, there is something visceral that happens, something that brings you back to your living room around a Christmas tree, something that brings you back to perhaps some of the fondest moments of your life. It can also bring you back to some of the saddest moments of your life. If you're sharing Christmas this year with one or two less people than you're used to, or you can think back when your whole family could gather around and now for one reason or not, they can't. But those Christmas songs have a way of bringing out a longing in us, something that it awakens in us. It awakens a hope for a lasting joy, for love that endures, and for peace and hope. All those things that we say and sing about and experience and long for the Christmas season. And really, when it comes down to it, Christmas music, it's not an accident. It's actually a really good way to lead in and to talk about Advent. So as we begin Advent, there's some pretty common, pretty preconceived notions about what Advent is. I did not grow up in a liturgical church. If you grew up in a Catholic church or a Lutheran or Anglican, you'd have a much clearer idea of what Advent was. For me, growing up, Advent literally meant one thing. Yes, I brought props. This was Advent. This was the extent of Advent for my childhood. And as a kid that grew up with not a whole lot, the idea of getting a piece of candy every single day for a month blew my mind. And every time, it was an area of jealousy for me because I never got one of these. So every time I went to a friend's house or every time I went to a family member's house and they had one, I just couldn't help but be taken completely aback on how that kid got a piece of candy every single day. And then when I was 10 or 11 years old, we were visiting my aunt and uncle, and they had one of these. And she gave me one. And it was terrible. They use the word chocolate loosely. It's really like a Yoo-hoo-flavored brown wax. And but I was never jealous again. So there's a whole nother sermon illustration in that. So maybe you picture an Advent calendar. Maybe you pictured candles and a wreath. Maybe you just count it as a countdown of days towards Christmas. And while it is Christmas adjacent, that's actually not what it's all about. Advent means arrival or a coming. But there's something to like remember that's important as you go into the season. Advent is not meant to be a festive celebration in the way that many of us think of it as a festive celebration with punch and lights and mistletoe and glitter and horrible tinsel. It's meant to be a season of waiting It's meant to be a season of longing, meant to be a season of honest reflection. Out of the season of Advent and the scriptures that surround it come some of our greatest Christmas hymns. O come, Emmanuel, come, long-expected Jesus. They pour into the season of Advent. So while Christmas is a celebration of Christ's birth, it's also a time to remember that before Jesus was born, God's people were waiting for a long, long time. Now, we're going to do a little time travel exercise this morning together, but I need a volunteer. Sadie, yes, I saw your hand. Come up. Come on up. I was so hoping you were going to be here. Have you ever traveled through time?
No.
Are you ready to today?
No.
Will you do it for me anyway if I give you the Advent calendar?
Sure.
All right. Hold this, it's for effect. Okay. Now, do you know what this is, Sadie? Okay. If you know anything about time travel, you have to protect yourself from the radiation of traveling through space and time. Okay. You ready for this? All right. So here's what I'm going to have you do. You say no? Okay. Well, you're doing great. You're doing great. All right. Okay. Take a big breath. Reach up and turn one page. 400 years. Right there. Nicely done. Very proud of you. You can have the elf on the shelf as a thank you for all of your hard work. I couldn't have done it without you. So, between the book of Malachi and the book of Matthew, there is represented 400 years of silence. 400 years that the Israel people, the God's people, were waiting. 400 years without a prophet. 400 years without a new word from God. 400 years of watching and waiting and wondering. Like, did we finally screw up so bad this time that we're actually done? Like, were we never going to hear God, like, did we get to the point where he's like, you know what, my promises are null and void because you just didn't do any things that I asked? Is he still listening to our prayers? Are his promises still true? Is he still planning on saving us? 400 years without any angels, without any prophets, without any prophecies, without any miracles, 400 years of silence. And if you know anything about public speaking, or if you're a teacher, you understand the power of silence. Silence has an incredible way of getting your attention. I counted at least four people that looked up after an awkward moment of distraction when it was too quiet in the room. God was getting the people's attention. And not only was it quiet, but it was dark. It was a very spiritually dark time. And darkness has a way of getting your attention. Have you ever been caught in the dark or caught by the darkness? You know what? Maybe you go for a hike through the woods or a walk through a park and you didn't realize how early it was going to get dark. Maybe you just went out for a walk through the neighborhood and didn't realize how quickly it was going to get dark. And now all of a sudden, you're realizing you're not going to be where you wanted to be before it gets dark out. And whether you're walking through that park or whether you're walking down that trail, all of a sudden your heart rate increases, your step increases. Maybe you're walking down the street from a city block and it's looking a lot sketchier than it did an hour ago. And now you're realizing there's three streetlights out between where you are and where you have to go. And maybe at that very moment, somebody that you don't know turns a corner on the same side of the street and is walking towards you. And all you can think about is getting to the light. All you can think about is getting out of that park, getting out of those woods to the lit parking lot where your vehicle is. All you can think about is getting to that next patch of streetlights where there's a storefront that's all lit up, because light represents something real. It means safety. Light means clarity. It means hope. Light means you made it. Light means you're going to be okay. Israel knew this feeling, but it, for them, it didn't last a few moments. It didn't last a few hours. It lasted 400 years. And yet through all of it, there was a remnant in Israel that just clung to the promises of God. Promises like the one found in Isaiah 9. And this very promise is the centerpiece of what we look forward to in Advent. And I totally turned it, so we're just going to use it. Isaiah 9, 2 through 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they are as they're glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is given. Born to us, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Thousands of years talking about the coming Christ before he came. I'm going to go back to verse 2. It says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. And then he tells us a little bit about who is going to shatter this darkness once and for all. For to us a child is given, to us a son is given. Israel, after waiting 400 years for a conquering king, get a newborn baby in the most humble of situations. Parents that are not wed, that have no means, born in a manger. But we get to know the end. We know this is no ordinary child. This is the incarnation of God. This is Emmanuel, God with us. And it goes on in verse 7 to say, and the government will be on his shoulders. Now, I don't know about you, but every time I get in the car after a prolonged experience with my family, I do some controlled breathing exercises. And it's either because I dodged a conversation about government politics or because I survived yet another conversation about government or politics. Because no matter what your view is, it's sticky. So it's very pointed when God says, and the government will be on his shoulders. We recognize by now, hopefully as a society and as a community and as a civilization, that we are dealing with burdens that we cannot carry. We're dealing with problems that we cannot fix. With massive broken wounds that we can't heal. But we know the one that can. He goes on to call him four names. And each one of those names speaks very, very specifically about a longing and a need in our heart towards our Savior and towards our God and towards those issues and those things that we cannot fix. He says, Wonderful Counselor. He sent the one who could speak wisdom into our confusion. He sent one that truly understands the complexities of our hearts and our minds. And he can speak wisdom and hope into those things. He calls him Mighty God because not only is he a Wonderful Counselor, not only does he know our hearts and our minds better than we do, but he is a God that has the power to actually step in and make a difference. We serve a mighty God that knows us inside and out. He calls him Everlasting Father. I think this most directly refers to the tenderness of our God, the faithfulness of our God. We have a God that is gracious and he is compassionate from generation to generation, and he has promised to never fell short of his promises, and he has promised to never give up on us. And the last one, maybe in this season, might be the most powerful, because he goes on to call him Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. He's not the giver of peace. He's not the provider of peace. He can't just point you towards peace. He is the ruler of peace. He is the Prince of Peace. It's much more of a promise than it is an encouragement, but it is certainly a deep and resounding encouragement. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. On the greatness of his government, going on to verse 7, and of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. And this just goes on to, again, remind us and comfort us that his reign is not temporary. His policies are not fickle. His rule is not fragile. And his peace is absolute. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And this is really at the heart of Advent. This is why we celebrate Christmas. Because as we look towards the season, we reflect upon an awaiting arrival of a coming king. We look towards a moment when the silence was broken. The silence between God's people and himself. The waiting was over. The Christ had come. Through this Advent season, we're going to do this by looking at three different things. A big part of Advent is looking back. It's looking back at the endurance of the faithful remnant. It's looking forward to Christ's second coming. And then we're also going to take some time looking around. Because the reality is we live in a society that many of which don't even know that they have a Savior. By looking back, we remember God's faithfulness. We look at the story of Scripture. And we recognize that there were generations that waited in darkness. Generations. There were people that prayed for answers, and those answers never came. There were families who wondered if God still cared. Wondered if the promises that were made so long ago were ever really going to be fulfilled. Or is this it? Are we on our own? They had to have, in a very large way, began to wonder if God was ever coming back, if they would ever hear his voice again. But we also remember that silence was long. But God was not standing idle. God was working. We knew that the darkness was deep, but we also understand that the dark is the darkest right before the dawn, and the dawn was coming. We look back so that we can remember, even in our own lives, even in our own circumstances, there are some times that it feels like he's being silent. It feels like life is just impenetrably dark. It feels like we're waiting. And we don't even know what we're waiting for. And that's the hardest type of waiting. But looking back on Advent, looking back on the season, is an ultimate reminder that the God that was faithful then is the same God that is faithful now. He's faithful in that silence, faithful in those promises, faithful in that darkness. The second part that we want to look at through these series is anticipating the Christ, the second coming King. Just as Israel waited for the Messiah to come, we now wait for Jesus to return. We are reminded in that this world is not our home. That final justice will be done. That evil does not get the last word. Every tear will be wiped away. The light wins. And not only does the light wins, but upon Christ's return, there is no darkness. There will come a day when the battle is over. And that's what we're waiting for. He will come make things right. The first coming, we waited for him to come, and he didn't come to give us insight. He didn't come to give us information. He didn't come to teach us. He came to rescue us. And on the second coming, he will come to restore us. So when I think through the season, and when I think through these promises, and when I think through God's faithfulness, I am forced to ask myself the question. Am I really living my life like I believe he's coming back? Am I living my life in such a way that deep within myself, I believe the battle is already won? Because I'll tell you what, circumstances can muddy the water so fast. And we can spend so much time worrying about today and worrying about tomorrow that we start living for today and we start living for tomorrow. Advent invites us to live not like tomorrow is a question, but like our entire future is certain. Thirdly, we're going to look around. And if you look around for 2 seconds, you're going to see a world that is still waiting for a Savior. We know the name above all names, but there are many that do not recognize Christ is that answer. And this, I think the saddest part, that even when I think through that, I do know him, and I'm still in such battle with my flesh, and I still have an ache and a longing for what is to come, and I still have questions, and I still feel times of darkness and of silence, but I still have the answer. I still have something to go back to, because all of those questions and that longing and that darkness and that waiting, the whole world feels that too, but they don't know the one that can fix it. People feel the darkness and they don't understand it, the brokenness, but they can't fix it. And they feel that same silence, but they don't know where to turn. It's popular in culture to live in the delusion that people are inherently good. All you have to do is take a look around you and take 2 seconds to recognize that our situation keeps getting worse. So if people were the solution, we'd have no war. If we were the solution, violence and abuse would be a thing of the past. Injustice and addiction and loneliness would be gone. But it's not. And it's not because our goodness can't cure human brokenness. If we're honest, there's nothing goodness. The word makes it very clear. We need a Savior as much as we ever have. And the rest of the world needs a Savior as much as they ever have. Advent announces that the cure has come. The light has dawned. The Savior has arrived. The first coming is over, y'all. Like, we're waiting on the second one. And that cure is Jesus. Next week, we're going to talk about the first Christmas song. And we're going to begin a 4-week series that delves into those powerful, nostalgic annual songs that we dig into each year. The first one to respond to God breaking the silence was an old priest by the name of Zechariah. He lived out the story of that silence in his own bones. Here's a man that had experienced generations of silence, a man that had experienced generations of darkness, a man that had sat around his table with his family saying, "Is this... like, could this be it? Like, could God be done with us? I believe the promises, but man, it's been so long." Guys, even when he feels silent in your lives today, even when it feels like you've been waiting and waiting and waiting, even if it feels like your prayers have either gone unanswered or have just gone wrong, we serve the same God today, yesterday, and forever. He is on the throne. His promises will be fulfilled. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you so much, and we thank you for this time together. Lord, we thank you for this Advent, for the privilege that it is to just be part of your program, part of your story, to understand in hindsight what you were doing and why you were doing it, to understand the incredible sacrifice that it took to make us right with you. And Lord, we just dedicate not only the next few weeks, Lord, but maybe perhaps a little piece of the rest of our walk with you to remember your promises, to remember your faithfulness and your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.
For your great rescue. That our story is it's not a sign of struggle, but a story of your great rescue, Father. We thank you for this time in this season to remember, to reflect, Lord. I pray that it would have great meaning for each of us throughout these coming weeks, Father, as we look forward to your arrival. Bless the rest of this day, Father. In your name we pray. Amen. Bless you. So go, church. Have a wonderful rest of your day.